Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, welcome to the second part of the Everton Fan Focus podcast. We're not sick of each other yet. How are you, Mark? You okay?
So, mate, we've covered the off-field developments from last week. Yeah. And now we thought it's only fair that we talk about the stuff that's happening on the pitch.
Is there an on the pitch yet?
Talking about the stuff that's happened in the international break, because there's probably a podcast. Well, there is a podcast in itself about the stuff that has happened in the past week.
Yeah, there's going to be an Anchorman dust-up style with Koeman and his training team on side and the Republic of Ireland management team and their training staff the other side.
Yeah.
Come get a taste time.
Ronald and Erwin, having a straightener.
Yeah, definitely. Keep lemon time, see what happens.
There's only one place we can really start, though, isn't there, mate? Seamus Coleman.
Yeah, oh my God, sickening. And really, really what's coming through is the quality of the guy himself, you know, what he does outside, off the pitch as well. You know, the guy's clearly a stand-up fella, well-respected, you know, and it's always the good guys that this sort of thing happens to. What a horror challenge. I mean, really, unprovoked, nasty, did not see it coming, you know, nasty challenge. Could end his start, I don't know, it looked that bad. I thought his leg had actually came off. Do you know what I mean? It was a really horrific challenge. Really, you know, when we think about David Bust and we think about Luke Nellis for Villa, that type of injuries that have horrored us over the years, that was right up there. You know, felt really sorry for him. And today they've said his operation was a success, thankfully, but, you know, long road back, and really did not deserve that at all. Really, a real shame.
A shithouse tackle, not for want of a better word. I remember Alan Stubbs calling Milan Baros, labelling his tackle as a shithouse tackle in the derby many years ago, and, you know, with it being derby week, it's probably relevant, but when you leave your leg in like that, but you kind of went full throttle and it to go through him. With any sort of challenge like that, with the momentum, you've got the potential to do real harm, and you know, you've got to see from the stills, which... For me, I don't agree with the people putting things
on Twitter.
For one, we didn't need to see the pictures, and secondly, we didn't need to see close-up replays and stuff like that, you know what I mean? I have a bit of respect.
Really X-rated graphic stuff, wasn't it? You know,
and you could all tell it was bad, and I could tell from people's reactions. I didn't watch the match. Admittedly, I just saw
instantly
what Tony was saying.
The players' reactions, you know.
Within a couple of minutes, it was there in my face, and I thought, you know, have a bit of respect with that social media now, anyway, that's another one. It was horrible. Neil Taylor, bang out of order, he probably going to get a free game ban, but...
He isn't that type of player.
It's just the timing of it, though, isn't it? Seamus Coleman, I'm not going to stand here and say I'm being his biggest praiser for the past few years. He's had an up and down time, but I do feel this season and under Koeman he's better. He's captain of his country, which I think tells you a lot about the lad.
Yeah.
And you know, it's ironic that the week before this happens, he's doing a lot of work. I think it was Down syndrome. He's doing a lot of work with Down syndrome. And that's just one of the things that he does. He's a highly regarded top professional.
Yeah.
Someone who's real grounded lad. You've only got to see what the likes of Phil Neville and former colleagues and current colleagues and not colleagues, just people who know him, have said about him.
He takes his responsibility seriously as a footballer, doesn't he? You know, he's not.
He does, and to see that happen to anyone is horrifying. It doesn't matter if he's an Everton player or a player. But it's really unfortunate, and he's going to be out for a hell of a long time.
A massive long time, a year or so. easily, but you know, his form was picking up. You know, we haven't had the Seamus Coleman of the Moyes years, where he was at his best, at his devastating best at times, you know. But he was getting back to that player, wasn't he, you know, recently. You know, he's been setting up goals and back again, you know, and getting his form back and looking the player that we all love. And then this happens, and it's just...
The last minute win at a Palace,
yeah,
was
that's Coleman, isn't it? Absolutely, yeah.
Kind of thing that was synonymous with him, you know, you'd expect 5 or 7 goals from him per season. Remember when he first came on the scene and we loaned him out, didn't we, and he was pulling up trees there at Blackpool, and then he come back and he carried it on him.
Yeah,
you know, to think we bought him for such a cheap price. But admittedly, you know, I'm not, because he's got hurt, I'm not going to stand here and lie and say I haven't criticised him the past, you know, 12, 18 months, 2 years. I have, but I've probably done that to every Everton player. But it was awful to see.
Yeah.
Now's not the time to be talking about Seamus Coleman's form. It's obviously his injury.
His injury, we just don't... Well, he's in the best possible care, and he's had his operations a success. So we've just got to hope that, A, he gets himself right, and that he, you know, his leg's okay and his health's okay. And then, B, we get the Seamus Coleman back.
It's the mental side of it as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he's going to be... wary of that happening again, isn't he, for certain?
Without a doubt. And you know, it's an awful thing to say, really. Brian Oviedo, you could probably say he's never the same player. We didn't see much of him before he got here, to be honest. You could judge him over Martinez's first season when he came into the team. He looked more than capable, didn't he? He looked a better player than what he'd kind of ended up becoming at Everton.
And
he did become a bit of a favourite, but I think it's easy for us to say from the outside looking in, but he just didn't look the same player after such a horrifying injury. But the same could be said about Yannick Bolasie. There's concerns over him, isn't there? He's had a couple of operations, I believe. The time scales with him,
nothing nailed down, is there?
No, yeah. it's horrifying, really. You think since Oviedo we haven't had anything really bad.
No.
I mean that was recent history as well, Oviedo, but there's been
I think in the cup, wasn't it?
It was a cup game, and then to get two in one season, Coleman and Bolasie, and for us to be only in March.
And our team's
really bad.
Been hexed a little bit, you know. And two players, that's our right hand side, technically, you know,
two starters.
And thing with Bolasie again, you know, that couldn't have happened. Wasn't pulling up trees, but doing enough to get in the team and you know, linking up some kind of form with Lukaku, wasn't he? He was getting a little bit of an understanding going. And you know, it's always the way when a new player, they can't afford to get injured on a new club, because very rarely do they pick back up after it, you know what I mean? Mm. You need to hit the ground running and have a good season, and then you become at home. He's now going to feel alienated from the squad again, and you know, with Coleman once, but you know, but last year we spent a lot of money on him, didn't we? You know, and it's just whether he's ever going to come back, you know, and if he's going to be the same type of player.
Well, his style, because
then it becomes,
it's all pace, particularly in style,
becomes redundant, and so as if his pace is gone, you know. So it's a real shame, because you know, he was a player I was excited about big time when we signed him,
and they're not exactly the youngest players neither, are they? And you know, they're at an age, Yannick Bolasie and Seamus Coleman, is what you would label a footballer coming into the prime.
Yeah,
you know, the way they say that, you know,
absolutely,
mid to late 20s
players who can propel you instantly up the league, you know, and that's why he was signed.
Yeah.
You know, so
our thoughts go out to, you know, both Yannick Bolasie and Seamus Coleman, don't they? And
yeah, Coleman particularly is going to be devastated right now.
From the highs of Thursday to the lows of Friday night, it was just, I mean, our fella said the same to me on Saturday. He said he woke up thinking about it.
Yeah.
About Seamus Coleman. I think a lot of people who I saw commenting on Twitter did. And
horrendous.
When I woke up, and then as soon as you go on your phone, you're reminded of it again. I thought, bloody hell, yeah, that did happen last night.
Yeah,
you know, just horrible, really. So let's hope he's back quicker than forecasted.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a fit lad, you know, he's a hard working lad, and with the right medical treatments and stuff, and hopefully everything there knits together back as soon as. But it's only a broken leg, which is good, which is not ligament damage, or it's not any kind of, you know, Achilles and stuff like that. Broken legs tend to heal better, don't they? So let's hope he deserves an early comeback.
Yeah, let's hope so. Our thoughts go out to him. Yeah. On the subject of the Republic of Ireland, James McCarthy, been a bit of a war of words, Bruin, hasn't there? Well, not Bruin, Roy Keane and Ronald Koeman don't need any sort of encouragement to have to say, but Keane's previously, you know, accused Everton of overprotecting the players and making us out to be a bit like wimps, to be honest. But then James McCarthy's basically gone there. He's not fit. He hasn't really played an awful lot for Everton. And then he pulled up in the warm-up. So, any thoughts on that, Matt?
So does that mean they don't look after their players, or they're a bit, you know, they're even, so if we're wimps, are they reckless then? They just take injured players and try and get them through a game no matter what. So, you know, what's the attitude here? Are they looking to, you know, they've got medical staff who are, you would think, is just as every bit as qualified as Everton's medical staff. So what's, you know, why they clearly overexerted him and he's got injured during the warm-up, but why was he even in the warm-up if he wasn't fit?
So just because of their one-off games are so vital to them, they're prepared to take risks on assets that are worth £20 million for Premier League football clubs.
Well, absolutely,
in theory, you know what I mean?
100%. I mean, you know, that could have been very costly if Schneiderlin had been out for a few months or weeks and we got the derby and then we're left with no option other than Gareth Barry again.
So from being flush in that area
to being down to the bare bones again, and then going to run amok 4-0 again. You know, we need the energy and pace. I mean, you know, I'm already scared, mate. So
we need engine,
and yeah, absolutely. You know, my ankle will be getting a call back, and you know, we need energy, and you know, McCarthy, they've been reckless there, haven't they? You know,
they have.
Or they tried to screw us one or the other.
Apparently Martin O'Neill then tried to call Ronald Koeman about Seamus Coleman, you know, courtesy or whatnot. I'm assuming that's what happens anyway. I'm assuming Everton have sent representatives over there to Ireland when Coleman had his operation on Saturday, didn't he?
Yeah.
But Koeman apparently blanked the calls. Now this is media hearsay, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think O'Neill maybe commented and said he's tried to make contact, but I wouldn't expect him to answer the phone call, though. If he's pissed them off in the past, or his assistant is publicly calling out a Premier League football club, world famous manager, then why does he need to answer the call to someone like that? I'm sure he was the first to ring Seamus Coleman, and that's the most important thing.
Well, maybe he might teach Roy Keane to keep his mouth shut a little bit more in future. I don't think anything will teach him to do that, but you know, it's looking stupid now, isn't it? Certainly with the McCarthy thing, Coleman couldn't be helped. That was just you can't vouch for another player's recklessness on the pitch, but McCarthy, they're just looking pathetic over there, aren't they?
You know? Yeah, so there you go, that's you told. To any Irish fans listening, we're not having a go at you or the Irish person.
Just Roy Keane.
A bit of a disclaimer there, just Roy Keane.
Well,
you know, in terms of international football, Mark, on a scale of 1 to who gives a fuck,
I'm at my wit's end with this international football, honestly. I couldn't give a fuck about it, if you pardon the French, which is ironically is international.
Just to clarify, these podcasts have got an explicit racing.
Also, we can say that
we had to apply for that before it went on there.
We know the type of people we are. Yeah. They are the ultimate knife in the bullet, aren't they? You know, they're just, they kill weekends. They've been killing weekends for far too long. There seems to be far too many international games, and the games themselves are absolutely pathetic. You know, we're looking at, there was a game, Andorra against last night, I think it was, I can't remember who they were playing, but they both ended because it was a 0-0 draw, a 58 game losing streak. Now, what are they doing in international? I know it's stupid and you should allow countries in, but it just renders the whole weekend meaningless. No, let's face it, no one's asked about England anymore, except for really weird cockneys and stuff like that. I just don't know anyone who's ever gone to an England match, ever. I don't know anyone. They kill weekends. You go on Sky Sports Soccer Saturday, they've got the B team on there because Jeff Stelling won't get out of bed unless it's a Premier League match.
Don't blame him.
So for me, they're just weekend killers. You know, more than Mark has ever done. I don't know anyone who likes international football.
Just like that weekend before payday, aren't they?
In January.
Yeah, like you get paid on the Monday or the Tuesday, and it's like the weekend.
It's the weekend, and you've got no money, and then you only get yeah, you have to work again for a week.
It's just pointless.
And then and then it's like awful because we've got a week in work and then we've got the derby at the end of it, so we all know what's going to happen there. So it's like there's no good news for about 2 weeks.
We've gone from doing a podcast swinging from the lights
later on now getting depressed
saying hate and swearing and stuff. But
do you like international football? Because I hate it.
I don't you know, I'll summarise it with this. If as an Englishman, I get people say they're patriotic, you should support your country and all that. I don't feel nothing for England and watching the England national team.
No.
Don't get me wrong, I'll watch football, but I didn't watch that England game today because I had better things to do and I didn't watch the England game the other night.
Yeah.
I will watch footy if I want to. I've got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
And I like watching football, but international football, no. Not a massive fan. If you're going to employ people like Roy Hodgson and Gareth Southgate as your manager, then you're never going to get my interest, never mind my support.
Exactly. They're not capturing anyone's imagination with these safe appointments.
But, you know, I don't want people to be annoyed that we're just dwelling on this because it's an Everton podcast. But
yeah.
I echo everything you said, to be honest. Well, I'm not going to go into it more. But it's just...
We're doing great on the pitch, you know. And they've stopped it, and now we're losing momentum, and it's all because England need to beat a team whose best player works behind the bar at the local pub 3 nights a week. Do you know what I mean? It's just ridiculous.
Everton have had to announce a new stadium just to get Evertonians doing it. Most of the time, the bloody suicide rates for you. Usually, we get beat and then have to dwell on it for a fortnight. That's usually what happens.
Yeah.
Or if we're winning, like we have been, it disrupts our flow.
So, but they never come at a good time ever. So really. Put international football, play 10 games over 10 days over the course of the summer, and whoever has asked, go and watch them, because and keep it out of the rest of us while we're all by the pool speedos looking for transfer news, because I couldn't give a shit.
that's a great summary. There you go, FIFA.
10 games, 10 days, just get it over with. Don't drag it out over 9 months. There's even one after 3 games, you haven't even put your slippers on in the season and they're already taking you, you know.
Even if they've done that, 10 games in 10 days, Ross Barkley still can get on the pitch for England.
What is going on there?
Well, I don't know, and I've just read the statistics there. His last 7 call-ups, he hasn't played a minute.
Now, in two years gone by, I would not have argued with that, but the guy is in the form of his life right now, playing above and beyond anyone in that Everton team, if you ask me. For me, he's different gravy all over the pitch. You know, there's players close to him, Schneiderlin, and I think Williams has improved a lot lately, and Lukaku is obviously stealing the show. But for me, Barkley's level has gone up 2 or 3 notches. So if there was ever a time that he was going to start playing for England non-stop, then it would be now. 7 games without it, that defies all logic. Considering the shite that's been put in front of him, Livermore, you know, gee, come on. What's going on there?
He didn't get up to get in the Euro 2016 squad, did he? And the games around that have obviously, internationals are few and far between. But yeah, today was his 7th time.
He didn't
or this occasion was the 7th time. And he didn't get on the pitch. But for me, my opinion on that is if he plays for any other side from 6th place to 1st place in the Premier League, he's in that England team.
Do you honestly think John Stones deserves to be in that England team? He's done nothing to deserve a place in that England team, you know what I mean?
People might say, well, Michael Keane's in, he plays for Burnley. Yeah, because Gareth Southgate's trying to be a bit different and bring other players in. But you know what? That epitomises England for me.
Yeah.
And in a way, although as much as I want to see Ross Barkley do well for his country, I'm not that displeased that he hasn't played.
Well, it's keeping him for us then, isn't it? He's
exactly.
Not getting tired.
He's been doing that well. If he went on for England and give it away a couple of times, some dickhead journo in London would have it all over the paper tomorrow.
Well, the manager would be making
giving him a 4 out of 10 rating because he gave the ball away once. And then confidence is massive with Ross Barkley. And whilst he's got it, I'm not saying not getting on the pitch won't hurt his confidence, because it will, because he thinks, what am I wasting my time here for? But I kind of want to wrap him in cotton wool whilst he's doing so well and just keep him for Everton.
At the moment, he's in that mindset, the blue shirt comes on, he's not putting any of the shirts on, he's not playing for anyone else in England. So every time he's putting that blue shirt on, he's feeling good because he's playing well in that. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, let's keep him feeling good and let's keep him confidence high.
I'd refuse to put the shirt on if Gareth Southgate was telling me to put him on. So, yeah.
It's just unbelievable appointments. You know, but But, they clearly think a lot of him.
Current coach and apparently a nice guy behind the scenes. But
yeah,
I'm not just saying that because he hasn't put Barkley in a team. I just don't like the guy and I don't really, I'm not a big fan of England. But
yeah.
Barkley, yeah, it's wasted his time. They're the statistics they don't like. He can't get on the pitch after 7 call-ups. So.
And in the form of his life, well, fine. You know, they obviously think better of it.
Unless he moves from Everton, he's never going to get done in that England team,
is
he?
No doubt he's already been transferred about 6 or 7 times already.
He's playing some of the best football in his life, but...
Yeah.
Enough about international football.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Fuck it off. It's gone. It's
happy
over.
Days. It's like, what's that programme where they put things in the bin? Oh, come on.
Programme where they put things in the bin?
Yeah, you know where you raise your, like, your subjects that you don't like? Oh my God.
I can think of another programme that sums it up and that would be pointless. But
yeah, this programme's pretty pointless as well. What's it called? It'll come to me. But yeah, if we were on that show, international football would be on that.
Oh, I know what you mean. Room 101.
Come on.
Mate, if we could get the whole international football in a box and put it in that box and flush it down,
and
wouldn't that be
Everton nice? Players getting injured on international duty would be second on that list.
Oh,
as well.
Definitely, yeah. There'd be a few other things I'd put in that box as well.
So, next up, Morgan Schneiderlin.
Yeah.
He's got a calf injury, but
you know what?
Hopefully he's been doing laps of Bramley Moor and he's getting back because we need him on Saturdays, don't we?
Badly need
we
him.
We need him and Garner Guy in that team.
Sick of going there under strength because yeah. They never get any injuries that lot ever. You'll never hear a Coutinho pulling up this week or you know Lallana or players who are playing well for them. But we always go there handicapped. Always. It'd be fantastic to go there with a full strength team for once.
I'm sure I read somewhere that Seamus Coleman hasn't played in the last 3 derbies because of injury, you know.
Yeah, you know, that probably sums it up. Like,
not saying he's going to win you the game. Like,
at half time, James McCarthy was having a really good game, I thought, in the derby at Goodison. In 0-0. And just, it went completely under the radar that he went off. At half time, because I think he got just didn't come back on, did he? Made the first half, yeah. And then Barry came on, and it went completely under the radar. I come on the big screen, Barry on for thing. I went, there you go, right there. And no one's even noticed the game's over.
Yeah,
and I know it's up to the 95th minute or whatever, but they completely overrun us in midfield from then on. We couldn't, you know, McCarthy was playing well, he offered legs and stuff, which is what we need for Anfield. But fucking hell, we cannot go there with Barry, we can't. Barry doesn't cope with Hull City midfield players who were knocking it around. Do you know what I mean? He's
not the way. Not
we
the
need Schneiderlin and Gay in there, and Davis. We need energy, youth, and experience, which is what them three.
I think the way Tottenham pressed us and the way Liverpool attack is similar. You know, interchanging. They don't have. Specific positioning.
Yeah.
Firmino, Coutinho, or Lallana. They move around. Origi's not slow, is he? You know what I mean? Gareth Barry can't be put in. He was like lamb to the slaughter against Tottenham. Admittedly, he was one of a few.
The same thing at Chelsea. Absolutely. It was a horror show. We cannot be anywhere near that first 11.
But then Gareth Barry played against West Brom and ran the show. But that's West Brom.
A team who was set up to defend.
Yeah.
Anyone who's setting up who fancies it against us, and let's have it right, Liverpool are going to fancy it, like they always do. We need Schneiderlin's quality in there, positional, and we need Gay doing what he does best.
See, this is what we're going to come to a bit
and
later,
that's
but
we need the confidence to push on then.
May as well talk about it now. For me, Jagielka starts again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about him in a minute. You've got Holgate. If he goes 4-4-2, Holgate, Williams, who has, I agree with you, what you said earlier as well. I think he's shown
a lot of fans still don't like him, but I think he's improved.
Williams, Jagielka, Baines,
yeah.
Garner, Schneiderlin, Tom Davis, Ross Barkley, Lukaku. For me, there's no question mark whether you start Morales.
I don't know.
He was
Morales kind of fancies it in the derby, but he loses his head too much.
I know.
You know, he loses it too much. He should have, you know, we'd all love the challenge on Suarez, stick him on him after everything he's done, but he should have got sent off for that. He got sent off. I think he's been sent off, hasn't he, in the derby? So Morales likes them, but he loses his head in them. You know what I mean? We need Lukaku not to be anonymous anymore. You know, he's talking the talk now. He scored a terrific goal last night for Belgium. Really good goal. He's in the form of his life. We need him now to we need someone to step up. You know, worse at Everton teams than this have gone to Anfield and won. Mm-hmm. You know, Kevin Campbell 1-0, we always remember that.
I just want
another one of them.
I think you'll throw Morales in for experience, because Lukman's been bombed out a bit, hasn't he?
He's gone off the boil a little bit, which is to be expected, but it's a bit of a shame. Morales then is, with Delafoe over in Italy, then he's the only option, really.
Because Lennon's not nowhere near it. So
no.
That's for me a big decision, whether he does throw in. Does he think, right, Davis is enough youth for that team, and plus you've got to change it back with Mason Holgate. No one else is going to come in there, are they?
I've got no worries over Holgate. I think he's a terrific player, and he's got pace, and he's got energy, and he's got presence as well. I think he's a big
lad. And we'll need that against the likes of Adam Lallana and Firmino. There's no getting Sadio Mane. There's no getting away from the fact that they've got pace.
Flies around shit, mate. You need to have quick thinking players all over the pitch, positional. We need Schneiderlin, who's that type of player, who can break it up in one instance and spread the play in another.
I'm already starting to sweat.
I'm sweating, mate. With those, mate, we are like the bird that they can't let leave be. You know what I mean? They're just all over us. And we can't say no, and then we end up tying our shoelaces. And
I'd like to say we've had a few like that in our time, man, but we haven't.
I've never had any beer that
like the bears running the other way. But yeah, it's a huge game. We started on Schneiderlin then, and we've gone into the derby.
We've
completely missed out West Brom and Hull, but we'll come back to them in a second.
Yeah.
The derby's there, it's our next game. You hate them.
Yeah.
I hate them. We don't really want to talk a lot about them.
No.
But we're going to go on here. Looks like we're going to our new Place to Record podcast on Saturday to watch it.
Yeah.
Are we going to call it a studio? What are we going
to
call it?
I don't want people thinking I'm famous, because we're not famous. I go to work every morning at 7 o'clock. You know, I don't want anyone thinking that we're above ourselves, because that's the last thing we are, believe me.
By no means. We're not flash.
People think everyone who does podcasts are famous. He knows who he is. I'm not famous at all. I don't feel famous. Industrial cleaning for 8 hours a day, but there you go.
You tell everyone your life story, man.
Yeah, 100%. Exciting times, yeah. So we got.
And we will be with others, but it looks like that's where we're going to be.
You know what?
Let's call it the cave. Because that's where most Evertonians go on Derby Day.
Under the duvet.
Yeah.
Or fucking behind the couch or whatever. No, let's call it the den.
The plan is to podcast live from there, and you know, straight after the game or whatever, or throughout the game, and a lot depends on what happens, though. People say you only do podcasts when you win, but
if it's 2-0 down after 8 minutes, then we'll go on.
Yeah, I'll be in the boozer.
We won't, but you know, we've got it. This is what I mean. They've already got us beat before we even get there. United. I love the way United fans support the team away from home. I've said this many a time. We've got to go there and be ballsy about this now. Mm. We've got good players. You can hate them. You know, Lukaku, every team in the Premier League would have him up front now. So we've got to show that against them.
Yeah.
You know, does he want to be a real Everton hero here? Because nothing will stamp it more.
If Lukaku can do it against the defences in the Premier League, he can do it against Liverpool's defence.
They haven't got a defence. I know, but they keep getting away with it with us.
Anything from their front three or four behind, you know, and I'm talking the players who have named plus Coutinho, anything behind there, you can get at them and exploit them. James Milner's a reliable player, but the keeper's not. The two or three centre-halves have gone on the books. The centre midfielders, you know, Emre Can, Lucas, the Premier League players, but the players that Everton can exploit on the day, Everton could go there, and I just hope we don't go and get overrun like we did at White Hart Lane.
I really don't think we will.
Mr. Fucking whatever his name is, Klopp, on this, he'll be doing all the panto and
he'll be pandering, but
Koeman just needs to rally his troops, get Schneiderlin and Guy with the foot in, Williams and Jagielka at the back. For me, Funes Mori can't be near that pitch.
No.
And hopefully, you know, the lads who are Moss Barkley, Romelu Lukaku, whether it be Morales or anyone else, can take the chances, because inevitably there will be chances for Everton.
Yeah, not half, there will be. And we don't need Koeman doing what he's done at Chelsea, that's sitting there resigned from moment one. We need him strong on the bench. You know, he needs to play his part here as well. And we need a confidence about us that says, you know, we have to do this now. One day has to stand up to this lot at Anfield. And it's got to be soon, because you know it's not fitting in with the vision anymore of just getting smashed 4-0 there every time. Yeah. You know, that's not, that was us last season, the year before, and everything, you know.
Well, last season, Mark, they had 41 attempts.
41 attempts, that's embarrassing, isn't it? You know, that's, I think West Brom have had 41 attempts all fucking season, you know, they're getting that many in one game. You know, basically, how wide do we want our legs open?
So, we'll call it to an end before we get this
off anymore. I have something to draw
here, I don't know. You know what, though, we all go through, it's a roller coaster of emotions, and I am, now that I'm talking about it, I'm in my stomach, you can feel your stomach turning,
yeah,
and there'll be blues this week who can't sleep, men, women, children, we all go to work, we all got school, we all get it in the neck, we've all got different experiences, but it is time. It's time we grew a set of balls when we went to Anfield, in your opinion, and in my opinion.
Look at the shite that have won there this season. Why can't we do that? You know, Swansea City, I think it was 23-2 won there in the cup. They lost at home.
Yeah.
I can't think, you know, they've lost so many.
Even West Ham went there, and West Ham took the lead a couple of times and got a point. There's been other sides, and we can't go there and bow to the panto that Anfield is nowadays and be like, yeah, we're just accepting it. We've been beat the past couple of years there, so it's acceptable for Everton to be beat by
Liverpool. No longer.
It's not. It's never acceptable. It never should be. And, you know, I'm sick of their fucking smug faces when it comes to it. We've got a bit of light at the end of the tunnel off the field.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about a loft conversion.
No.
We're talking about... On the pitch, we need to make that statement too. And
yeah.
We've got the players to hear these sides, but similarly to what I said on the podcast with Sean after the Tottenham game, we just, it's a mentality thing, a lot of it, and we just never seem to do it.
We're doing the right things off the pitch, we're doing the right things on it as well, building slowly and slowly, but then there has to be that leap, and that takes a big performance, a big win, you know, like the United performance with Martinez's first season, that gave us the confidence to go on and have a really good season, you know, but there needs to be that Everton, when we drew 1-1 with Liverpool in 84, and that convinced Kendall. It was only a 1-1 draw, but it convinced him that we could go toe-to-toe with these, and then we beat them 1-0 at Anfield with Sharp. You know, that's what a great side needs, that moment. We've had the catalyst off it, now we need it on it, and we've got the players to do it. So, you know, Lukaku, do what you do best. Schneider, and you do what you do best. Give it to Morales, you play, you know, enjoy it. Link up with Lukaku, your international teammates.
So you've got, like, West Brom and Hull. We don't even need to talk about them, they were that convincing.
Oh, mate.
But you can say we only beat what's in front of us. There's seven goals scored there. We didn't even look like conceding against them too. So now, it's the impetus now going into the other games.
Yeah.
And we should be relishing going to Anfield and all.
We should be there. We should be. Billy Big Bollocks, mate.
We're all past experience. We
let it cower us.
On the back foot.
Yeah. And we let that whole atmosphere cower us, and you know, and belittle us, and make us look weaker than what we are. Like you say, mate, we've won them games, right? We haven't won games like that so convincingly for years. We haven't. We've struggled big time. West Brom at home, you know, stuff, teams like that. You know, we're now winning. We're
in the times we were doing relatively well. It was a 1-0 or a 2-1. You know what I mean?
And that was just
3-4-0s.
Look at that last 5-6 home games, all wins, 26 goals, something like that. We just, I don't know, Hull City played well. They didn't deserve to lose 4-0. But at the end of the day, we've got the quality to do this. The teams, when they're not playing that well.
If it was on Anfield, and I'd say, and the result against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Leicester in the cup and Tottenham aside, the past 3 months have been great for Everton.
Yeah.
We have been probably the best side. The form table doesn't lie since January. But if we had Goodison on Saturday, I'd be a lot more confident. But it's just something about going there, isn't it? And it's just horrible. It's horrible.
It's basically what we worry about translates onto the pitch instantly. Now you think the players this time would be bigger and better than what our fears are.
Let's turn it on its head then.
Yeah.
We're gonna go there. And we're going to get the minimum of a point. We're going to go there and beat them.
And then we're going to beat United.
And we'll go to United and we'll do the same.
Because I'm not scared of
Man
United.
Finally, the media might think, hang on.
There's something evolving here.
Something changing, yeah. Because I think until it happens, we won't see that. Because we'll always be, oh, look at Everton. There they are.
You know, they're part
Sky of the refer to the top half as the top six, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we're level on points with Arsenal now, albeit there's games in hand there. But what will it take for Everton to be recognised one day? It's going to take results.
The next two games.
Exactly. It's going to take results. on the field against these sides. Because no one's asked about watching us beat Hull 3-0 or
no one's
4-0 and West Brom.
It's not lifting no any bothered. Eyebrows, is it?
No.
But these two games, mate, I mean, come on, if you're Koeman now, you've got that team singing a tune for you. This is a real opportunity now to really say to everybody else, this is something special that we're building, you know, and you know, we beat them two games away. Everyone is going to stand up and notice that.
Four points minimum.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would take that all day.
There you go. There's your non-field in Man United preview. West Brom and Hull they were comprehensive fit wins.
Yeah, great wins. You know, well, Hull City was a lot more difficult than what it appeared on the score sheet, but you know, we were never in trouble of losing or drawing. In fact, you know what I mean. It was just.
You look back to some of the others: Southampton, Man City.
It's a game. We've smashed teams, goals
we've scored as well, yeah.
You know, we've just absolutely smashed teams.
What's that did? Like Southampton was 3-0, City was 4-0, Bournemouth
6-3. Then you've got 3-0. You've got 4 against Hull, 3 against West Brom. And there's been someone else.
In between that, we won away at Palace as well.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, as I say, it doesn't lie. Obviously, we're still 7th place in the league table.
But no one's looking.
We'll level on. Sorry.
Sorry, mate. No one's looking forward to coming to Everton anymore.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, inevitably, you've got to go to the places like Anfield and Old Trafford. The home games do run out. Beyond that, we've then got Leicester and we've got Burnley.
Yeah.
So you think to yourself, the catalyst could be here at Old Trafford and Anfield. And then you think, well, Leicester and Burnley, let's be honest, two decent sides, but two beatable sides.
Yeah, so let's have it right, mate. We could somehow muster 10 points for the next 4 games.
Oh, we're going to.
We're going to now.
Now that we've stopped being negative.
Now we're going to be, you know, Lukaku's going to score even more goals. He's such a dangerous player, do you know what I mean? We've got it all there to do it. We've just got to have that belief.
But actually, I know it's so easy to go missing against the bigger sides, isn't it? Because you can blame it on the rest of the team.
Then is his ego, his ego's not going to go. I think he's in the mood to get his ego on my side, mate. The way he's talking and playing, he's feeling like the main man, isn't he? He's loving the fact that he's the main man. You know, I think I can't see him leaving for the life of me, honestly.
Like when you're walking the booze on a Friday.
Yeah, and you know, at the moment, Lukaku feels like Jimmy Conway in Goodfellas. He's walking in, he's giving the bartender $50 for keeping the ice cool. He's giving everyone money, $50 for the fella just for saying hi to him, you know what I mean? He's feeling great. He's that man that lifts everybody when he walks in. So let's hope his ego continues to want. And, you know, a winner at Anfield, mate, and that's him done. No, there's no more slagging him off. You know,
Kevin Campbell will still be.
Yeah. Do you think? Yeah. You know, we need Kevin Campbell. You know, that's what we need.
Take one of them right now.
Yeah.
So Lukaku is the next item on the agenda. To be honest, there's meant to be some sort of announcement. Yeah. And I say meant to be. It's Twitter talk, is it? Or he's been. I don't pay much attention to it, to be honest. But he's been commenting again on international duty. Scored, didn't he? Last night.
Really good goal against Greece last minute, yeah.
I didn't watch it, but
they were struggling badly. They were losing 1-0.
Yeah.
And he brought the ball down, chested it, and on the swivel, smashed it left foot, and the keeper couldn't hold it.
Just
normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I don't have an announcement, yeah. But you just repeat what you said to me before we started recording about Lukaku and about the announcements and why you think
there'd
be no announcements unless he was staying.
I think if that hasn't got anything to do with this announcement, then he'll be staying.
Right.
We don't see anything. You know, when players have left in the past and it's been evident that they leave, and the club says next to nothing. Because what part of Lukaku going do Everton want to be a part of? You know, that's with the ambition in the club now, it's all pointing towards keeping your best players and attracting new best players with it. So I don't think if there's any kind of announcement to do with Everton and Lukaku tomorrow, he's staying. Because you look at how silent Arsenal and are being over Ozil and Sanchez, you know, the two players who are, for me, clearly off in the summer. Do you know what I mean? He's falling out. They're saying nothing. So if Everton have got even anything to do with this tomorrow, he's staying. Because I don't think Everton want to. Why would they announce that he's leaving? I don't get it.
Yeah,
they wouldn't.
And the press.
They would just keep it under hat, play it down, and then start him in the summer. There's no interest in them announcing that he's leaving.
The press almost announced that he was leaving in shaping
that's
the word.
They're absolutely desperate, aren't they?
Well, there's an agenda, isn't there? And there was an article written the other day about, you know, BBC and the bias and.
Oh, I thought it was nailed on.
Evertonians. It was, you know, significant when he came out against Hull. There was not a boo around Goodison Park, and
no.
In this day and age, it is a little pantomime, isn't it? Everyone doesn't read the papers anymore.
I think they see Everton as
aside from the media thinking, "Oh, what we say is gospel." It's not.
It's not.
It's not. And I think I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. I don't want to say and put my neck on the line and say I think he's going to stay or I think he's going to go.
Yeah.
For the time that he's an Everton player, I just want to support him. I want to keep seeing him banging in the goals and getting the best out of him whilst he's here. Because I don't think any Evertonian could say, I expect Lukaku to stay around for the long time. Even in his first season when he came, I was really shocked that he did. And he's done an awful lot since he's been here. Look at his goal record. I'm a big fan of Lukaku. I get wound up when people criticise him. I can see why some do in certain occasions. But I honestly don't know. I'm trying to give
he's
me
a player
opinion, but I don't know whether he's going to stay. If he announced tomorrow that he's staying, I wouldn't be surprised. If he announced tomorrow that he was leaving, I wouldn't be surprised. It's 2017 in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And I'm an Evertonian, so kind of not. I'm a bit hardened to it now.
Yeah, exactly. But indifference. It's probably the best way to be because you get upset or.
Well, yeah, I mean, doesn't get away from the fact I'd be massively concerned if he left. But I was.
Well, there's no one in this club who can do what he does.
You'd say that about a lot of Everton players, and then
you
tend to get on with it. But Lukaku's different in terms of his age, his worth, his goals. He kind of is priceless to Everton at the moment. But we'll see, I suppose, won't we?
Yeah, I haven't got
any.
There
may not be an announcement.
We'll see. We'll just have to see, won't we? There'll probably be a favour in the morning about something happening at 11 o'clock. And it'll be something that'll get us through the work day, but you know, we don't know if anything will happen or not. If Everton got anything to do with it, I think he's just going to be staying.
They're
not going to want to announce the best players leaving. One of the best players, you know.
If he keeps scoring like he does.
Because there's no one who can do what he does.
If he keeps scoring like he does, they might have to name one of the new stands after him, might they?
Yeah, what a goal at Anfield, and that's a save, mate.
Imagine a statue of Lukaku down at the new Docklands Arena. You know, you'd be able to see it from anywhere, wouldn't you? On the waterfront.
The big fella.
So there you go. That was Lukaku.
Yeah. So he's got a statue, or he's leaving. It's either one or the other.
There's no middle ground with us. Couple of other, like, or any other business things.
Yeah.
Before we sign off.
Yeah.
We've been linked with a couple of players. Some we've spoken about before.
Yeah.
One's a new guy. The first one is Brennan Johnson, who's I think he's just turned 16.
Yeah.
Tried to look into it a bit. Someone said he was 15. But he's young anyway.
Yeah. He's not old enough to put the lottery on.
No. Or he's old enough to be on the street.
He's old enough to
2020. Trialing out, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think it fits in with the, you know, we're talking again about money, aren't we? £1 million.
£1 million. It's Nottingham Forest, and you know, various media sources reporting that we're in advanced talks, and this citing Steve Walsh. as the reason, which as the head of recruitment you would, well, you would have him as responsible. But
I think it's yet more cause to be excited, isn't it? You know, this is all fitting in with Unsworth and his budget, which again is something we've never heard of, a youth team manager having a budget of his own. He's going out on the best talent in the land, you would assume, and now just heading to Goodison. I mean, you know what, there's nothing to hate about that, nothing. It's so exciting to see Everton in this, acting this way. You know, this is what the big clubs do, don't they? You know, they come in and they take the best talent around. You know, United had this for years, didn't they? Just taking the best. It's great to see Everton so proactive in wanting to get the talent into the club that are going to be grown and nurtured and into Premier League. I think the remit is Champions League quality players, isn't it? You know, so exciting to see all this happen. You know, he's not a player we can get excited about now, but the intent and the drive behind getting him is something we can get excited about.
We probably said the same when we signed John Stones, Mason Holgate and Dominic Calvert-Lewin now as well, didn't we?
Wait, yeah.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin went under the radar. £1 million, weren't he, from Sheffield United?
Yeah, £1 million, and now he scored his first goal, which is going to do in the world of good. Forgot about him, mate.
To be honest,
we're not the only ones to forget about him. Match of the Day didn't even give him a mention.
Yeah.
First goal for the club.
And it was three young English players in the link-up.
In the link-up. And it didn't get a mention. All it got a mention of them spiteful arses was trying to sell Lukaku, and I think the best one ever was to Liverpool.
Yeah.
Off Graham Russell. They might as well have dragged me in off the street if they wanted an opinion that idiotic.
Let's not get started on Graham Russell. But yeah, Dominic Calvert-Lewin's come through, he's there, he's in the first team.
Yeah.
Koeman's been pushing him since January. He got that injury.
Yeah.
He's now got off the mark, confidence world of good. Mason Holgate, ironically, we've already discussed, he's coming into the team at right back to potentially start in one of the biggest games in his career.
Is anyone remotely bothered about that?
It was just a blink of the eye that he signed. Was it MK Dons we got him from?
Barnsley, we got Mason Holgate.
Brennan Johnson, and people might think £1 million, 16. It's buttons. It's buttons in terms of the asset that you then own.
Yeah, but I mean, in their eyes, the nature in the next. You know, he's a shit house off the pitch, but the nature in the next John Terry, aren't they? The nature in the next England captain, you know, these players have got to come from somewhere, and to have them all, it just seems like the best talent in the land. You know, the guy from Germany, Donker, I know he's gone back now, hasn't he, because he's injured. It's absolutely brilliant to see the club so proactive in wanting the best youth at our club, because it's all painting towards a much, much brighter future.
So speaking of youth and bright futures, we've been linked with Michael Keane and Jordan Pickford as well.
Guy looks a player. Keane really looks a good player for England. He was playing tonight against Lithuania. I know it's only Lithuania, but he looks a really good centre-back.
I thought you didn't like international football.
Well, I watched it because nothing else was on a Sunday afternoon, but I was watching it. And Keane looks a good player.
Yeah.
Actually, that doesn't fit well with my international football rant. But you know, Sunday afternoon, it's either made she rolls or footy.
Well, no, you can probably say the same now when you've seen him play for Burnley this season.
Yeah,
he's been a lot of our fantasy teams.
Different class.
We've been linked with him, but surely we won't be the only team linked with him. You know, United, Chelsea.
Arsenal are always crying.
They're always looking for centre halves. Everyone's always looking for a good English centre half.
Yeah. Absolutely. So probably won't be the only ones. But you'd think, given our proactive approach to deals like this, that we've already got it in place, you would hope, you know.
You never know, and you think, you look at the two centre-halves who could start on Saturday, and Ashley Williams and Phil Jagielka.
Yeah.
We know the future isn't there with them, and it's probably not with Funes Mori.
No, so I think that's going to be the big change in the summer, is the centre-back area. He's going to want fresh, and he's going to want him in early, because you need your defenders in early, get time to work with them, get an understanding going, so we hit that ground running when the season starts.
What about Jordan Pickford? I mean, he probably didn't have his best game, did he, when Sunderland visited?
He didn't, but he done well. He's been impressive all season, hasn't he, though, for Sunderland?
That was another game we missed out before. We talked about the own games.
Yeah, Sunderland.
That was another kind of comprehensive one, wasn't it?
Yeah, an easy. But Sunderland, one of the worst teams I've ever seen, along with West Brom, to be honest. Pickford's done well, hasn't he? You know, he's the young goalkeeper. Again, that's what people are after. hungry young talented goalkeepers. Robles has done nothing wrong all season, to be honest, has he? Not really, in that context. But we need competition, and he's done well. So I'm not asked, to be honest with you. As long as Koeman wants him and Walsh sees him as you know, and they see him as a part of our future, then go for it, you know. And then Rooney's been linked again. So
well, they haven't been so, Koeman and Walsh and that haven't done much wrong with the recruitment since he's been there, so I think they're the best judges of character. Yeah. So we can talk about paper talk as much as we want, but
we can give our own opinions, but
yeah,
at the end of the day, these fellas see, you know, round pegs fitting into round holes, then that's all we need, isn't it? You know,
I remember seeing an interview with Steve Walsh on the Everton show about a month ago or 2 months ago,
and yeah,
I thought he spoke really well. I was really impressed with the way he talked about the way he's gone about his business and his thoughts on the game and the young talent out there. And I just thought to myself, it'd be great to speak to him directly and just get his thoughts on other things. He's got a vast array of scouting network now.
He's in charge of them, you know.
Someone was brought in the other day as well.
From like Chelsea or something like that.
I can't remember the name, and we sound bad because we should do our research.
I know.
Someone brought in Academy, and I can't remember who it was. Someone tweet us and let us know if you can be bothered. But yeah, he's got scouts here then everywhere. He just spoke really well, Mark.
He's ahead of the. He's in charge of that network. Isn't he? You know, scouts, but we're pinching the best scouts in the land. You know,
it's just all a network.
Fantastic.
It's a model.
It's stealing a march on everybody else, which is why I love the Luckman signing so much, because it just went in. He's the best player in League One.
It's the model which since it's been put in place, we're kind of reaping the rewards now.
Yeah.
And in the future, we will hopefully do that. So, going back to players being linked, I'm confident that we've got the right people, the right fit for Everton. As you said before, we can get rid of eight, but if we bring in two or three that are going to make an instant impact or a 10 times better player than albeit.
Absolutely, and these players are going to fit right into Koeman's system that he wants to play, you know, and the way he wants to play. That's why you have scouts, isn't it? You know, and not just that, to get the right quality of person in as well. You don't want any arsehole troublemakers who are going to rock the boat or, you know, have an opinion by all means, but don't, you know, not to be disruptive for disruptive sake, they're getting the right players in.
Yeah.
And that's what the best scouts do, you know, mentally as well.
So what about the man you just quickly mentioned then, Wayne Rooney? That, it's not going away, that one, is it?
No, it's not. And it's like, seems more and more concrete, if that's possible, without anything being, no shirts held up or anything. Rooney seems to be a target of Koeman's for the summer, doesn't he? He seems open to coming back. There's even talk of United not even asking for a transfer fee, you know, and Everton, I don't know, I think they're desperate to get a £300,000 a week player off the books, aren't they? Mm. You know, that's never, I can't be, and a player who's not really playing that much as well, you know, it's not a long term model for them, is it, for that to carry on. So I would think Rooney, you know, would he get, is he, it's a legitimate point, would he get into the team right now? He would, of course, but there's so much quality behind Lukaku right now, he would fit in, but then that would mean Ross Barkley maybe missing out, who's in the form of his life. I would have Rooney all day long, to be honest. We need this mentality at the club.
I just think his overall future might be back at Everton, and that's bit part player, bit part coach, bit part mentor, getting involved in some coaching at lower level, like Franny Jeffers, what he's doing at the moment and things like that.
Yeah,
bit of a casual thing. I just, you know, we've said this time, I've said this before, for me, if Ronald Koeman sees a place back at Everton for Wayne Rooney, then I'm happy with that. I'll prepare to let past thoughts be gone and past opinions, and I did have a lot of ill feeling towards him at one point, but I had a lot of ill feeling towards the club at one point as well, because I didn't know who to believe as to what happens. Kissing doesn't help.
No,
same age as me though, Rooney, and you know, I've done stupid things in my time.
You'd hope that people would forgive him.
You'd like to think that, being captain of your country, captain of Manchester United, and having three kids, and becoming—he is a different person when you see him behind the camera. He's obviously matured.
Yeah,
and he's bringing his kids up ago.
As Evertonians as well.
You'd think he'd come back as a role model to some, and he'd sell an awful lot of shirts. Which people are like, "Well, Everton sell shirts, but Everton don't really sell shirts, do they?"
No.
When we sign Lukaku, Other clubs make transfer fees back on revenue and retail sales because of names. Wayne Rooney would sell shirts, even if he was only playing twice a month.
Because there's that many people fascinated with him and about him, and you know, he's got a lot of fans. Rooney, I think, would also feel invigorated by the move himself. He's gone a bit stale at United. He still can play. Good God, he can still play, you know, and he can still contribute on the pitch. So I think an invigorated Rooney with, you know, back at his home club, a club on the up, not just, we're not meandering, it's not like he's 38 and he's just come in, you know, for a bit of a Ginola type signing. You know, this is a club that's on the up, we're on an upward curve, he's joining the club at the right time, I think. But also we need his mentality on that pitch. We need his drive, we need a winner, someone who's, and you know, sadly for us, he didn't do it with us, he'd have to do it, but if we are getting him back, we're getting him back. But he's a trophy-laden career, and you can never get enough players with that mentality in the squad.
That's it, a winning mentality is priceless, and he's won it all, he's seen it all, and he would hopefully come back and have a part to play. But then I do believe in terms of the staff, the future, he would be a part of that as well. So it's not just bringing him back to play. He's not going to come back and you're going to give him $200,000 a week. That's not going to happen.
No.
They may offer him 80, 100, 120 grand.
Yeah,
which,
he's
you know what I mean? It's still not bad money if you can get it, but he's a multi-millionaire.
He has to understand he's never going to earn that wage his all his career, you know.
He either comes back to Everton. I can't see him. He's not going to go to China, full stop.
No,
he's not going to probably go to America. Maybe not now.
His kids are young. They're in school. It's important to him.
Exactly.
You know, I'm thinking Morales is the same, you know, his kid's just been born, hasn't he? You know,
he's happy.
Doesn't want to leave because it's important to some of these lads that the families are happy, and if they're happy, why are they seeking to move?
It's not like Wayne Rooney's have to move out.
He hasn't got to move anywhere, has he?
All signs point towards a return to Everton for Wayne Rooney. It won't sit well with everyone. It won't please everyone.
No, but it's going to steal, again, like the stadium, it's going to grab people's attention to what's happening at Everton. People are going to go, wow, Rooney back at Everton.
In terms of, he could opt for a lucrative deal elsewhere. He could earn, you know, it's probably $700,000
a week. He's going to get a few quid at Everton.
China will
literally just disappear off the face of the planet. No one's interested, no one's asked. It's a league far, far away.
And I think America's too much of an upheaval for his young family. So, the all factors considered, I truly believe Wayne Rooney will return to Everton.
Definitely.
And I hope he has a part to play.
Is when he's holding up a Fenerbahce shirt in front of a raved Turkish crowd.
But, you know, even if he just comes on to keep hold of the ball when we're in the Champions League final and the game's won, you know, even if he just comes and does that.
Hasn't even contributed to
a game. I've got a bit ahead of myself there. But you don't know, do you? Even if, you know, come back, Ross Barkley won't play, Lukman won't get a look in. They will, because Koeman knows how to do it the right way. He's not just going to bomb kids out because Wayne Rooney comes back. But it's a romantic tale, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't sit well with everyone. Didn't probably sit well with me at one point. But
he's a very good player, and we can't get enough of them at the club. You know, we've got rid of shite. We've got room for a lot of good players to come in now and challenge others for the, you know, competition for places has to be. So Rooney's in the squad, you know, then the likes of Lochman and the likes of Barkley, they're going to up their game even more because they know there's a ready-made player coming on who can take their place, and not only take their place but keep them out the team for 6-7 games, you know what I mean? So it's all good. You need competition for places, and Rooney, at least, without anything else, will provide that, you know. So I'm all for it, mate. And I'm all for the limelight that it'll grab. Everton, you know, Mashiri's all about people noticing Everton, isn't he? And wondering what's going on. And that fits in with what we're trying to do. With the ground and everything, and get Everton back on the map. Gets people's heads turning. And I really think there's going to be 3 or 4 signings that'll turn people's heads anyway. Do you know what I mean? As to what's going on. Positive.
There you go. Good way to end it, that. We went a bit off the rail when we were talking about international football and the derby.
You've got to let the Haitian out somewhere. You can't be nice.
You've got to get the fume out. But no, I agree with what you say there. There'll be others that won't. But let us know your opinions.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone, again. When are we back? We're back for the derby.
Back for the derby on Saturday. It's a small turnaround for us.
If we win, we won't do a podcast where we'll just scream for 90 minutes.
So you want to listen to that?
Yeah, on the show.
It's going to be like an Argentinian football commentator.
Yeah, or may just press record whilst we're in the pub
afterwards
and just
see what
let ourselves go. But we'll be back. Yeah, we've got Liverpool, you've got United, you've got Leicester.
Yeah.
You will fit one in at some point in between.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, definitely. Yeah.
Don't forget the technical bits as well. We appreciate all feedback. You can find us on Acast, you can find us on iTunes. Obviously follow us on Twitter at EverytonFanFocus2.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a shout out.
Any final thoughts, Mark?
Just that I want Everton to really go into Liverpool with all the confidence that they got from that they're getting from the last couple of games and all, and the confidence in our play. Really show what we're about, really show what the club's about now, and stick one on them, and then everybody's right behind what we're trying to do. That's not what I want to say, but
you know, there you go.
Let's just beat them.
There's your team talk. Let's have them Saturday.
Fucking the eight. Ta-da.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.